This is WOR New York, an RKO General Station.
Developments in the president's battle with federal courts. I'm Fulton Lewis in the Mutual Broadcasting System studios in Washington, D.C. My commentary after this.
So there it is. She's missing all these great pictures. She needs everything.
That's amazing. Listen, I think I have exactly what you're looking for. It's a brand new thing. It's a Kodak Pocket Smile Saver Kit.
Look at that, will you?
It has a Kodak Pocket Instamatic and camera and a neat
camera.
It's
got a case and film and
magic cubes. And
well, that's everything she needs.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I can't spend a lot of money on this. It's only your hobby, after all.
This is perfect. This is less than $30.
Oh, that's terrific. For the complete outfit? I can't believe it.
How are you going to get this to her?
I'm going up on the roof. Like, I get her everything. I'll just hand it to her as she goes by.
She goes
every
by?
90 minutes.
Every 90 minutes.
Yeah, at an altitude of 38 feet.
That's really
well,
low.
Well, her liftoff was a little off. That's a good orbit. I don't know where she goes.
Explain to me how she got started as an amateur astronaut.
Boy, I wish I knew. She was rewiring the house.
Now available for a limited time only. The Kodak Pocket Smile Saver Kit for less than $30. It makes a smile go a long, long way.
Oh, I can't wait to see the picture she takes with it.
Splashdown is...
Thursday in the pool.
A federal judge here in the nation's capital today lifted his ban against releasing a court report which lists President Nixon as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Watergate cover-up. But he said the Supreme Court probably would have to act before the material is made public. U.S. District Court Judge John Sirica lifted a secrecy order at the request of the White House. But after today's court session, the judge told a reporter that the Supreme Court probably would have to act also for the material to be made public because it has the material under seal for its consideration of a petition by Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski to obtain 64 White House tape recordings. Judge Sirica said that he would unseal the transcripts of hearings that were held in his office early last month, at which it was disclosed that a grand jury had named the president as an unindicted co-conspirator. The judge acted shortly after U.S. District Court Judge Gerhard Gesell denounced the president's refusal to allow a defense attorney in the White House plumber's case to examine evidence in White House files. Visibly angered, the judge said that the president's refusal to let former presidential aide John Ehrlichman's attorney accompany Ehrlichman when he examines files that he left at the White House was both offensive and bordering on obstruction. White House Attorney James St. Clair asked yesterday that the list of co-conspirators be released. He made the request after published reports said that the president's name was on the list. After Judge Gesell had said last week that Ehrlichman must be given access to material in his files that he deemed essential to his defense in the plumber's case, the White House agreed that he could examine the material, but then it developed that Ehrlichman's lawyer was not allowed into the file room. Judge Gesell said that that amounted to denying Ehrlichman his right to be represented by counsel. Today, the judge added, "I don't see how I can agree to a procedure that is so totally offensive. It is offensive. It borders on obstruction." Earlier, Ehrlichman testified that he had declined to look at the files without his lawyer present. All of this, of course, presents a very, very complex legal situation for both the White House and the federal courts, a situation which most likely will have to be unscrambled eventually by the Supreme Court. There is, remember, nothing in our constitutional system, nothing indeed of precedent in the pages of American history, which completely deny the president the right of executive privilege. Indeed, the doctrine of the separation of powers would seem to dictate that that right is sacred and it cannot be violated. And yet, on the other hand, never has the doctrine of the separation of powers been so stretched and tested as hard as it is being stretched and tested today by President Nixon. He seems indeed to be inviting a resolution by the Supreme Court. His wish is likely to be granted. From the Mutual Studios in Washington, I'm Fulton Lewis, and that's the top of the news as it looks from here. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater.
Leg room. We're big on that. Ozark Airlines has redesigned the interiors of all its planes to provide more comfort for all its passengers, including those with long legs. Ozark's new one-class service offers better seating, better reasons for your Ozark flight to be nice going and nice coming back. Improvements? We're big on that at Ozark Airlines.
Now go Ozark's Evening Jet at 6:45 to Washington with through service to Champaign, Urbana, and Peoria. This is WOR, the talk of New York and your mystery theater station.
I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of your own terrifying imagination. There are people who suddenly find themselves tortured and taunted by a fragile wisp of a memory. It's a memory of something they may have said or something they think they did. Exactly what it was has been long forgotten. But now it must be paid for. And the price? Life itself.
Yes?
Are you Mrs. Louise Goodman?
That's right.
Are you sure?
Why, of course I'm sure.
It's just that I don't want to make a mistake.
I'm Mrs. Louise Goodman. Who are you? And what is it you want?
I want to keep my promise.
Promise? What promise?
I promised I'd kill you. Remember?
Our mystery drama, A Little Night Murder, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
And now, another story of the ball and chain as Kellogg's Special K presents The Library.
Welcome to the public library. May I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to check out. I'd like to check out Famous Laundromats of the World by Audrey Schnorbart.
Sir, excuse me, but isn't that ball and chain you're wearing just like the ones they use in the Kellogg Special K commercials?
This ball and chain?
Shh. Yes, that one. How are you going to get rid of it?
Well, you know, lots of good exercises, and by eating smart at every meal, starting with the Special K breakfast.
Don't you have to watch your calories?
Yes, and the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories.
Less than 240 calories?
Shh, right. A 1-ounce bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's really tasty, and it's going to help me get rid of this ball and chain. I'd say it's long overdue, get it?
Your happy ending could begin with the Special K breakfast from Kellogg's.
North Jersey is certainly getting a higher yield this season, especially with Suburban Savings Special High Yield Savings Certificate that you can raise for fun and profit. All you have to do is plant a modest $2,500 minimum in Suburban's limited issue 7.50% Savings Certificate. Then put your certificate in a nice safe place. Suburban takes care of the rest by compounding interest continuously from day of deposit paid quarterly. You'll get a nice healthy 7.90% effective annual yield on your 7.50% savings certificate when you let it grow from 4 to 10 years. Early withdrawal prior to maturity is, of course, subject to a substantial penalty. So for a nice, healthy 7.90% annual effective yield, grow Suburban's 7.50% savings certificate for fun and profit at any Suburban savings office in northern New Jersey.
Now this word from the New York Graphic Society.
Midnight in the cemetery. The casket lid lifts slowly, and a tall creature with glowing eyes rises from the coffin. From time immemorial, man has been frightened and fascinated by the night-roaming, blood-sucking creature. A captivating new book, A Clutch of Vampires, now presents the very best tales from both history and literature. Spanning 2,000 years, it is the most diversified, enthralling collection of vampirana ever published. A Clutch of Vampires by Raymond McNally.
Downtown, at night, the city is a deserted place. The lofty office buildings, those gleaming towers of glass and steel, stand quiet, empty and foreboding, like ancient temples. And like the ancient temples, they also have their priestesses. These are the ladies who enter at night with mops and brooms and vacuum cleaners to clear away the debris of the day's worship and purify the offices for tomorrow's rituals. We are concerned now with one of these, a sturdy, middle-aged woman named Mary Margaret Cannon. Steady, hardworking, no nonsense. But on this Friday evening, something seems amiss. Mary Margaret is pale. She's nervous. And every now and then she stops working and just listens.
Someone there?
Hello? Oh,
Terry. Terry, I'm scared.
Scared? You? What did you be scared of?
I don't know. It's these murders.
Murders?
These women who've been getting killed.
I'll come and stay with you if you want.
Oh, please. I'm so nervous, so jumpy. I'm so scared.
Yeah, but why?
I just don't know. Terry.
Yes?
I hear someone coming.
Are you sure?
I hear someone. Terry.
I'll hang up and call the police.
Oh, no. No, don't. It's just the guard.
Oh. Yeah, you see? Now, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. Look, you just forget I called and get your rest. Oh, good evening, Tom. You're not Tom.
No. I'm the new man, Mrs. Cannon.
Oh, well, what happened to Tom?
He called in earlier today. He said he was sick. They sent me down to relieve him.
How'd you know my name?
Well, Tom told me. I asked him, who's in the building tonight? And he said, just Mrs. Cannon. But what?
Well, Tom doesn't know my last name any more than I know his. We're just Mary and Tom. How did you know?
Why shouldn't I know your last name? You know mine.
How? How would I know your last name?
It's Jackson. Remember? Little Peter Jackson.
I never saw you before in my life.
Oh, you did. You did. Yes, you did.
What do you want?
I want to keep my promise.
What promise?
I promised I'd kill you.
Well, why do you want to kill me?
You don't remember. Well, let me refresh your memory, Mary Margaret Cannon. 23 years ago, you lived on Baxter Street, and one morning you walked into a little grocery store.
Now
you remember. You have exactly 30 seconds to live.
Oh, please. Please don't kill me. Please. Please.
Shouldn't you be saying your prayers?
But I told the truth.
If it was the truth, then God will forgive you. Pray, Mary Margaret Cannon. Pray.
Oh, listen. Listen. My husband and I, we have a little money put aside.
And I know exactly how you got
it. You can have it. All of it. Only don't
pray. Pray, Mary Margaret.
Jackson! Peter Jackson! Maybe 30 years old, tall, thin, blonde!
Don't shout. No one can hear you.
They'll hear me. They'll hear me. They'll arrest you and hang you. His name is Jackson! Jackson! Peter Jackson! Oh, no! No, no, don't! They'll catch you, Peter! They'll catch you!
Number 4. Mrs. Mary Margaret Cannon. Number 5. Coming up, Miss Alice Maitland.
Captain Blake. Yes, Commissioner. Commissioner, I understand you. Listen, if you think somebody else can run it better, then get somebody else. Oh, I agree, sir. Yes, sir. No need for any of us to blow his stack. Absolutely, sir. Yes, I'll keep you informed. Well, you got a pretty good one here. Is this your first mad killer assignment, Lou?
Yeah, I guess so, Captain.
Mad killers, mad bombers, mad stranglers, you name it. You get one every 10, 15 years. You can count on it. You get a rash of absolutely senseless killings. No motive, no rhyme, no reason.
Should we talk to her husband again?
What for? All he's going to tell us is what a great lady she was and how they neither of them ever had any enemies.
Captain Blake, suppose... Just suppose it isn't a mad killer.
Four murders in 11 days. Number one, Mrs. Martha Denson, shot while parking her car late at night. Number two, Mrs. Janet Drew, shot in her backyard. Number three, Mrs. Louise Goodman, shot in her apartment. Number four, this cleaning lady, shot while at work.
Well, could there be a connection? Did they have something in common?
There's no pattern. None of them knew each other, as far as we can make out, or even had anything in common.
Yeah, that we know of.
It's the toughest situation in our business. A mad killer.
Okay, he's a mad killer. Every killer is mad. But does this one have a method to his madness?
Yeah. He uses a .38 caliber revolver and shoots women.
The last one, Mrs. Cannon, that's the problem.
What kind of problem?
Well, he's a mad killer, you say, so he wanders around, and if he gets a chance, he'll kill. He sees a woman alone in a parking lot, Mrs. Denson. He shoots her. He sees Mrs. Drew in her backyard. He shoots her. He sees Mrs. Goodman alone in her apartment. He shoots her. Okay, how do you account for Mrs. Cannon?
You're dealing with a madman, Lou. You can't account for anything he does.
All right, three women are targets of opportunity. They happened along, or he happened along, and that was it. But he went out of his way to kill Mrs. Cannon. Look, he had to slug the night watchman. He had to take the elevator up 12 stories to find her. It means he wasn't just out to kill any woman. He wanted that woman. Why?
That's good thinking, Lou. And if this were almost any other kind of case... Blake. What? Oh, no. Not another one. Okay. All right, send her in. Did they tell you about nuts while you were getting your college degree? This one coming in sounds like a 14-carat nut to me.
Captain Blake?
Yes, I'm Captain Blake. This Detective Parker.
How do you do?
Huh?
I'm Miss Maitland, Alice Maitland. I own a bookshop on 3rd Street, and... Well, it's about the murders.
Do you know anything about the murders, Miss Maitland?
I know who's going to be killed next.
You do? Who?
Me.
Why do you say that?
I have a premonition.
I see.
I know what you gentlemen must be thinking. You're convinced I'm a hysterical woman or a crank.
No, but
Miss Maitland, do you have any enemies?
I don't know of any.
Well, we know there's a homicidal maniac loose. It's true, he may strike at anyone.
That's not why I'm here. I know he's going to strike at me.
Well, what reason would anyone have for killing you?
What reason was there for killing those other women?
Hey, you say your shop is on 3rd Street. I'll see that the officer on the beat keeps an eye on the place.
Yes. I just thought I should tell you. That's all anyone can do, I suppose. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Maitland.
Now, Lou, you have just conversed with an authentic member of the Nut Club.
I don't know about that, Captain.
She's a charter member. She belongs to the I'm the Next Victim chapter.
I still say she's not a nut.
Maybe not. Maybe she's just some poor little dame half scared out of her wits.
Oh, she was calm. She was very calm. As a matter of fact, it's as if she knows what she's talking about.
May I help you? Oh.
Hello. Remember me?
Yes. You're one of the detectives I spoke with.
Yeah, Lou Parker. Tell me why you came to police headquarters with a story that... Well, rationally, it doesn't make sense. You said as much yourself. You felt that you had made yourself seem somewhat ridiculous. But now... Well, forget all that. I'm willing to assume that your story is true, that you really are next on the list.
Then you do believe me?
I'm willing to accept what you say, but you have to help me. Does anyone have a motive for wanting to kill you?
No.
You never did or said anything that may have hurt someone?
I can't remember.
A disappointed boyfriend?
I never really disappointed anyone that way.
And yet you insist someone wants to kill you.
I know it sounds ridiculous.
There's a reason for feeling the way you do. If only we could uncover that reason.
Excuse me, that's my phone. Hello? 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 Hello?
Miss Madeline?
Yes.
What is it? You seem rather pale.
Oh?
What happened?
When I picked up the phone, there was just a click on the other end, as if someone had just hung up.
Well, why should that seem to upset you?
Well, because it's happened before.
It has?
Yes.
Frequently? I mean, often enough so that it really isn't just an accident?
3, 4, perhaps 5 times a day.
When did it start?
Oh, I'd say about 2 weeks ago. I remember it happened 3 times the night the first of those women was murdered.
So why didn't you tell us this before?
I didn't think it was anything important.
May I use your phone?
It's back there in the office.
Okay, I'll only be a moment.
May I help you?
Yeah. Is your name Alice Maitland?
Yes. Can I do anything for you?
Well, you see, I came here because I have to keep a certain promise I made.
Say what you will about this young man. He has at least one redeeming feature. His word seems to be as good as his bond. But will he be able to keep this particular promise? This problem will be our primary concern when we return shortly with Act Two.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine. But Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, ma'am, what's for dinner? Hey, ma'am, what you got?
Don't miss ShopRite's big Dairy Deli Value Jubilee. Some of the great values include ShopRite butter, 1 pound brick, 69 cents. Tropicana orange juice, half gallon carton, 59 cents. Oscar Mayer bacon, 99 cents a pound. And much, much more. Big values in the meat case, too. ShopRite grade A whole frying chickens, just 35 cents a pound. Split or cut up fryers, 39 cents a pound. Roasting chickens up to 4 pounds, 39 cents a pound. Get a lot more for a little less this week at your ShopRite.
She loves a family. She wants the best. She does all that she can do. She lets ShopRite do the rest. Hey, ma, what's for dinner? ShopRite has the answer.
The Talk of New York, WOR, your mystery theater station.
At one time, a young man named Peter Jackson has made the same promise to several women, a promise that he would kill them. So far, he has kept his promise 4 times. Now, he is in a bookshop owned by a Miss Maitland, apparently ready to fulfill promise number 5.
I came here because I have to keep a certain promise I made.
You made a promise?
Oh, yes. And I came here to keep my word.
Miss Maitland, I think we're... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a customer.
What sort of promise are you talking about?
I had promised a special person I would buy her a book. And I came in here to...
Any particular type of book?
A good murder mystery.
Oh, well, we have the latest Jonathan Merriweather novel.
No, I don't dig him. Nothing happens. You got anything by Mike Stilson? Now, there's a guy who really writes murders. I mean, he kills somebody every other page.
Well, we're sold out on the latest. It's called Blood on the Street.
Yeah, that's the one in which this guy kills all those dames.
Look, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, all you have to do is read the newspapers.
Do I tell you what to read, buddy?
Sorry.
I could order the book and have it day after tomorrow.
Oh, no, that'll be too late.
Well, try us again.
Sure.
Well, there's a guy with gruesome tastes.
Well, takes all kinds.
Hey, you know, he's a great Mike Stilson fan, and he thinks nobody knows it.
Who?
My boss, Captain Blake.
You're kidding.
Hey, this is the very first time I've ever seen you smile.
Oh, I smile a lot. It's just recently.
I told Captain Blake about the calls.
And?
Well, you never know. He just grunted and said, I'll stay with it. What time do you close?
Just about now.
I'll take you home.
I live in this building, 2 flights up.
Well, how about some dinner?
Oh, you don't have to.
You asked for police protection.
Is that the reason? Line of duty?
Well, yes and no.
I'd like to, except that, well, it's the end of the month and I'm swamped with paperwork.
Well, this neighborhood seems safe enough. It's busy.
And that diner across the street stays open all night.
Look, keep this card handy at all times. It's got a special phone number. Now, use it. Anytime you're disturbed by anything at all, no matter how slight or trivial, don't feel embarrassed. Just get on the phone.
But I've already told the officers everything.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Cannon, but I just have one more question. It's very important.
What could be important? Mary's dead.
You said that Mrs. Cannon had no enemies.
I'll take that back. She had a great many enemies.
But when we asked you last night, you said she had none.
Sometimes when you think about a question, you see it in a whole new light.
Can you name some of these enemies?
She was good. She was honest.
I'm sure she was, but just tell me this. During the past 10 days or so, would the phone ring and then go dead as soon as you picked it up?
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, it happened.
Often?
At least 2, 3, maybe 4 times a day.
I see. Is the name Alice Maitland familiar?
Alice Maitland.
Think.
Alice Maitland. You know, there is something familiar about it. The Alice Maitland...
Think of the type of person with whom you could associate that name. Now, would she be a movie star, a librarian, a teacher, a woman who might own a bookstore?
No, none of those. I think of a little girl.
A little girl named Alice Maitland. Did she live in the neighborhood?
These past couple of years, my memory... It just comes and goes. Right now, it's gone.
Well, if ever you remember why and how you know Alice Maitland, call the number on this card. I'll have another cup of coffee, please.
Are you waiting for somebody, mister?
Well, not exactly. Why do you ask?
Oh, well, now you've been sitting around for hours drinking this stuff. Is the coffee in this joint that good?
Look, don't be frightened.
Oh, who's frightened?
Well, you are, so just look at this.
Oh, you're a cop.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was beginning to think that you could be that mad killer.
Well, it could be just about anybody. I hope I didn't scare you too badly.
Well, the truth is, I wasn't that much scared for myself.
No?
Well, you've just been staring at that building across the street. I got the idea you were watching for something. Are you?
Well, maybe.
Could I have change for the telephone, please? Thank you.
Now, where have I seen him before?
What did you say?
Nothing. Just talking to myself.
You do that a lot, don't you?
Do what?
Talk to yourself.
Well, that was a short call.
She wasn't home.
Oh, it's too bad. Did you find the book?
What book?
The one by Mike Stilson.
Oh. No.
Well, keep looking.
You know the best way to stop talking to yourself?
No.
Get married.
The light went on in her room.
What's that?
He went to the booth. He only had time to dial. And the light went on in Alice's apartment.
Well, who's Alice?
It could be a coincidence. Wait a minute. Alice, it's Lou Parker. Did I wake you?
No. I'm up.
Did your phone ring just a minute ago?
Did it ring? Well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, I'd fallen asleep and, well, I must have been having a bad dream. I think I heard the phone, but it could have been in the dream. Anyhow, I did wake up suddenly and I turned on the light, but I didn't hear the phone ringing anymore.
Could it have been the ringing of the phone that woke you?
I don't know. Did I hear it ring or did I dream it was ringing? Why do you ask?
Well, I'm just checking. Anyhow, I'm glad you're okay. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Oh, that was a short phone call, too.
Yeah.
How is she?
Who?
Your girl.
Now, how do you know I call my girl?
I told you I read character.
Do you also read the future?
Like an open book.
Well, I sure hope so. Captain, we got ourselves the killer.
Oh, how can you be sure of your guy?
I saw him in the bookshop.
Does that make him a suspect? Maybe he likes to read.
Then again in the diner.
He may have been hungry.
He didn't eat. He just went into the phone booth. He didn't even make a call. He was in there just long enough to let the number ring, and then he was out.
So?
So the light went on in Alice's, Miss Maitland's apartment.
You mean he called her and hung up?
Well...
Well, what?
She isn't sure.
How can she not be sure? The phone rang or it didn't?
It isn't that simple. You see, she was asleep and she can't be sure. If it was the ringing of the phone that woke her up, or if the ringing of the phone was part of her dream.
Good luck.
Look, Captain Blake, there's something about this guy. He's young, about 30-ish, thin, blonde, a very hard line to his mouth.
Lo, I think you better report in for general duty. This case is getting to you.
Well, Captain, please.
It's no reflection. It's even to your credit. It shows you care about people.
Captain, let me have one more day.
All right, Lo. 24 hours.
I'm sorry I've caused you so much embarrassment, Lou.
That's all right.
Captain Blake is unhappy.
He'll get over it.
He thinks I'm crazy.
Well, he thinks most people are crazy.
Lou, you can't keep guarding me forever.
He has to strike at you soon. That's the pattern. He's done 4 murders in 12 days. That's one every 3 days. This is the night of the 15th day. He's due. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless I've scared him off for a while. No, keep away from your window.
Why?
Well, if he's around, we'll be tipped off. But could I have scared him away? After all, how would he know I'm a cop? You never saw him before?
Never.
We have to assume he's our killer. And what is the only thing we know about him besides his general physical description?
We know he wanted a book by Mike Stilson.
Blood on the Streets.
But he could have made that up on the spur of the moment.
Nah, people rarely make things up on the spur of the moment. He knows what he's doing. He's out to frighten you. The phone calls are a part of it. That book. There's something in it that would cause you to be frightened. But what?
I don't know. I've never read it.
Well, he figures you did. After all, you own a bookstore.
I have to sell books by Mike Stilson, but no one can force me to read them.
Well, the clue is in that book. Wait a minute. Captain Blake, it's Lou Parker.
Do you know it's 2 a.m?
Yes, sir, but I'm calling in the line of duty.
You live dangerously, Lou. What is it?
Captain, you've read all the books by Mike Stilson.
What?
Don't deny it, sir. It's a known fact throughout the department.
You mean you woke me up at 2 a.m. just to ask?
Line of duty, sir.
If I read those books, it's only because I get a good laugh at how unrealistic they are.
Captain, what's the story of Blood on the Streets?
Lou, I hope your patrolman's uniform still fits.
I'll be able to prove this is the line of duty. Get Alice, pick up in your extension.
Well, in a nutshell, a bunch of spoiled, rotten, rich kids are kind of high. They're joyriding in this sports car, and they run down and kill this harmless old gent. The harmless old gent has a son. The son comes back from Vietnam. He swears he'll have revenge, so he shoots the joyriders one by one.
That's it?
That's it. And it better be line of duty.
Well, Alice?
No. I was never involved in anything like that.
Does it remind you of something that might be similar?
No.
But it has to. Think. I hope you don't mind if I answer your phone. Hello?
Detective?
Yes.
He's here. You know, Blondie. Having a ham sandwich and a glass of milk.
Thanks.
Look, he can't see me, but I can see him. Oh, he's headed for the phone booth.
Oh, good work. We better hang up.
What is it, Lou?
Well, right now, right here and now, we're going to find out. If that telephone should ring...
His faults, and we have already witnessed a rather grievous one, at least young Peter Jackson is something of a sportsman. In his own way, he warns his intended victims. He even tries to give them clues. This time, has he given one too many? We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
It took me 20 years to get what I've got today. A nice house, a couple of comfortable, good-looking cars. Then along came all the concern about miles per gallon. They say one of my cars ought to be a small car. I say, okay, show me a small car that's good enough to make a big car guy like me happy. They say, look at a Buick. I say, go on, Buick doesn't even make small cars. Look at the Apollo, they say. So I looked. Buick does make a small car. But this one's got some room and comfort and something else. A 6-cylinder engine and a standard 21-gallon gas tank. Put those together and you've got range. Well, that's just important to me as miles per gallon. So I consider everything about the car, the economy, naturally. But also how nice it was inside and how smooth it was. And I bought the Apollo. There's nothing wrong with a small car. As long as it's a Buick. Apollo. The Buick of small cars.
If you think you have problems, take a look at what families trying to buy a new house are facing these days. In the real estate section of Sunday's New York Times, you'll discover the havoc that inflation is playing in the lives of house hunters in this area. And you'll get an idea of how much the price of houses has gone up lately. In Sunday's New York Times magazine, you'll learn why a former aide to Dwight Eisenhower calls the Nixon presidency joyless, aimless. And why a pediatrician says it's a mistake to teach children to swim at a too early age. The travel and resort section of Sunday's New York Times is a special one. the annual summer vacations feature, 54 pages filled with ideas on where to go and how much the trip will cost. And in the coin column in the Arts and Leisure section of Sunday's Times, you'll find out how the coins in your pocket could be worth a lot more than you think. There's so much more in Sunday's New York Times. Be sure to pick up your copy, and for information on home delivery of the Times, call MU70700, area code 212, MU70700, the New York Times.
Amco Transmissions, may we help you?
I hope so. My frisky Ford is making funny noises.
Oh, like what?
Like this.
Hey, that's great.
You mean everything's okay?
No, I was admiring your car sounds. As for your Ford, ma'am, well, I'd have to look at it to tell you exactly what's wrong. But I can say of the 3 million automatic transmissions Amco serviced, over 900,000 of them were Fords.
You can cure my buses?
Oh, you bet. We've gotten stranger sounds than that out of
Ford, Torino, and the Maverick, and the Mustang, and the Pinto, and the LTD.
Rest assured, we'll get rid of your buzzes.
Oh, terrific. I'll zoom. Excuse me. Right down.
Nobody knows your automatic transmission better than Amco. Double A. MCO.
There are over 500 Amco centers coast to coast. Consult your yellow pages for the Amco center near you. Double A. MCO. Amco.
What would our civilization be without the telephone? Imagine your life without it. And the way the telephone works, it requires two people to complete a call. However, some of the most eloquent conversations can be carried on when there's no one at the other end, as you shall hear.
Answer it, Alice. Answer it.
Hello? He hung up.
Now I've got him.
Where are you going?
You stay here.
Hi, Detective.
Where is he?
Blondie? Well, I told you he went into the phone booth. He didn't stay in there more than a couple of seconds, and then he ran out of here.
Did you see which way he went?
He didn't even pay his check.
Which way did he go?
Look, you got nothing to worry about. You'll get him.
What are you saying?
He ran into a cab that's usually parked outside.
All right, could you describe
I don't have to describe, I know.
Look, all I want is
I know the cab driver. He's a school teacher of days, and he moonlights. His name is Vic Wilson.
Does he have a radio?
They all have radios. How could he make a living?
What's the company?
Oh, what a great witness I make. Jefferson. You even got the number on the card in the phone booth. Blondie's in for it, huh?
Jefferson Cabs?
This is a police call. You have a driver, Vic Wilson. He's on a job right now. The minute he checks in, have him report back to the diner at 3rd Street to Detective Parker.
Detective Parker?
Yeah.
How do I know? It's
my badge.
Get in. Can't be too careful, that maniac running around loose.
Where'd you take your last fare?
790 Crescent.
Oh, what is it?
It's an apartment building.
How big?
6 family, I'd say.
Attached?
No, it's all by itself. There's an empty lot on either side. They're renovating the neighborhood. It's about time.
He lives there, huh?
Yeah, I've been taking him there for the last couple of days. He comes out of the diner, he gets into the camp, that's where he goes.
That's good enough.
Is he a bad boy?
Well, you wouldn't give him a star for good conduct, teacher.
Throw on the searchlights, Haggerty, and hand me that bullhorn. We know who you are, and we know you're in there. We'll give you exactly 60 seconds to come out. Walk out the front door with your hands in the air. Keep behind the car, Lou. A nut like this one might want to take some people with him.
You've had your minute. Come out, or we'll come in.
All right, let's get in there fast. Open up, police.
All right, stand to the side of the door, Lou. Cover me.
Who is it?
It's me, Lou.
Lou. Lou, what happened?
Well...
You didn't get him?
No, we didn't get him.
Maybe it was the wrong house.
No, the cab driver insists that's where he's been taking him.
Then what happened?
Oh, he's smart. He has himself dropped off at a false certain address in case he's being tailed, and then he sneaks out.
Makes sense.
Of course, Captain Blake doesn't believe a word of it.
But, Lou...
Oh, come on. Six families live in that house. Six ordinary, law-abiding families, and we rouse them at 5 a.m. and search the place.
How angry is Captain Blake?
Well, if he ever gets over it, I may wind up working nights in charge of the property office. Otherwise, I'm pounding a beat down along the docks.
It's my fault.
No.
How do I really know I'm in danger? Why isn't this the product of an overwrought imagination?
And the phone calls?
Coincidence.
And the guy in the bookshop? And we see him again in the phone booth just before your telephone rings?
It could all be coincidence.
I can't accept that.
But Captain Blake does.
As far as I'm concerned, you're in danger, and you're convinced of it too, aren't you?
But I don't have to be right.
We can't take any more chances. Now, I'm going to stay here with you for another hour. By then, the stores will be open, and we'll buy you a small 25 caliber revolver.
No.
I'll arrange for a permit, and I'll show you how to use it.
But I can't stand the sight of a gun.
Alice, if a man is determined to kill you, all the advantages are on his side. We have to reduce the odds.
I couldn't own a gun. I couldn't use one even if it meant saving my life.
Now, Alice, I don't want to say that sounds silly,
Lou,
but...
I don't think I can ever forget.
Forget what?
Well, I was standing right next to a man once who was killed by a gun.
When?
Oh, years ago. I was about 6.
Who was killed?
A very nice man. He was our grocer, Mr. Jackson. It was the day after New Year's, and Mama sent me out to buy... To this day, I remember. A quart of milk, a half pound of butter... and a jar of strawberry jam. And then this man came in, and he had a gun. It was a holdup. And suddenly, there was a loud explosion and a terrible flash of light. Oh, it was terrible. Mr. Jackson fell to the floor. He was dead. And the man ran away.
Was he ever caught?
Oh, yes. Just a few hours later, I had to go to the station house to identify him.
Do you realize what you've just told me? This is it. You identified the man. He was sent to jail. Now, years later, he wants his revenge.
But that's not what happened.
No?
Well, you see, I was so frightened. I wasn't sure. I really couldn't identify him. And he went free. So why would he want to kill me now?
Then that gets us nowhere either.
The others couldn't identify him either.
The others?
Yes. There were other people, but no one was sure of him.
Now, if you had identified him and sent him to prison, it'd make sense to suppose he'd want revenge, but you didn't. Now, whoever and wherever he is today, he's happy. But the fact that you failed to identify him could have made someone else unhappy.
What do you mean?
Oh, the book, Blood on the Streets. It's about a man who killed people who did his father an injury. Did this grocer have a son?
I think so. I think a little boy used to play in the store. Oh, but it's so long ago. Who could that be?
I'll take it. Hello?
Mr. Parker, this is Terry Cannon. Remember me?
Yes, Mr. Cannon.
They said I could reach you at this number. Anyhow, it came to me...
What came to you?
Well, I was trying to puzzle out why the name Alice Maitland was so familiar. Well, sir, about 23 years ago, Mary Margaret was in a grocery store, and a man was killed in a holdup. I took her down to the station house to identify the gunman.
And could she?
Well, now, sir, she really couldn't be sure. Anyhow, another one of the witnesses was a little girl. Her name was Alice Maitland. And I remember her because she was the most terrified little thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cannon. I've got you. Finally, I've got you all tied together.
Who?
You and those women who were killed all come together in a little grocery store some 23 years ago. Finally, now we know who we're looking for. I'd like to see the look on Captain Blake's face when I tell him this.
You won't live to see that look, friend.
Lou!
I know you got a gun in the shoulder holster. Just lay the phone down. Slow. Easy. Now, raise the hand. Slow. Easy. That's fine. Just keep him there.
I guess your name is Jackson.
Peter Jackson, Jr. You figured it out. So I figured I'd have to come back and get both of you. The hands stay up.
Well, it's too late, Peter. We know about you.
Yeah, you know about me, but the other cops don't. See, I was in the house across the street when you staged the raid. I thought I'd die laughing. I learned never to get dropped off where I live. That way you don't get surprised.
You won't get away with it.
Oh, I'll get away with it. She's the last one. I'm sorry about you, but I'll walk out of here. And who knew it was me?
But why her? She was just a kid.
She lied.
But I didn't know. I really didn't know.
Yeah, that's what they all said, but they were lying. They were bought off. All of you were bought off.
Come on, Peter, talk sense.
My father is murdered. And the law lets a killer go free, and you want me to talk sense? Does it make sense that five people who were standing right there couldn't recognize him?
But I couldn't be sure. I really couldn't be sure.
My father, he never hurt a soul in his life. If a hungry person didn't have a penny in his pocket, he could still walk out of that store with a loaf of bread or a bottle of milk.
If your father was that kind of man, what would he think of you killing innocent people?
My father believed in justice.
But you knew who the killer was. Why didn't you go after him?
Yeah, I did. I did, but I was cheated. I spent years on his trail, and when I finally caught up with him, he was in his grave. Well, my father wasn't going to be cheated out of everything. If I couldn't have the killer, at least I could get the people who helped him.
Let me explain something.
No, you don't want to explain anything. You want a stall. You want a chance to go for your gun. Well, you won't get it. See, I'll kill you first, and then her. There's such a thing in this world as justice. If the law won't give it to you, then you make your own.
And that's why you're doing this? For justice?
That's right.
That's wrong. You're doing it because you love to kill.
That's a lie.
Ah, it's the truth. Look at yourself. Look at how you're enjoying this.
I'm doing what has to be done.
You killed those four women and you enjoyed it.
You have 30 seconds to live. Say your prayers.
How long do you think you have to live? You're going to keep killing and you'll be caught. You can't stop.
I hate killing.
Come on. You love to see people under the gun, how they squirm and sweat. You're eating this up. Look at your face in that mirror. Look at that grin. Like a wolf. See how flushed and excited you are. Look at yourself. Look. Break your arm, drop it!
Very good work, Lou. Very good. One more second and we would have had to gun him down. This way we can take him home alive.
Captain Blake.
Somehow, I'm going to get back here. Get back to you, Miss Alice Maitland. I'll keep my promise.
Haggerty, Gordon, cuff him. Hustle him back to headquarters.
Look, Alice, don't worry about him.
Are you all right, Miss Maitland?
Yes, I think so.
Well, you shouldn't be. It was a rough experience.
Why did you come back, Captain?
Well, I guess we both solved it, Lou. You broke it by pure and simple brain work. I waited for a miracle.
Well, did you get it?
Yeah, I got it. I got it because of this little machine.
Hmm?
Mary Cannon was killed in an office. She managed somehow to throw the switch on a dictating machine. A secretary came into work this morning, and she heard Peter Jackson, and she didn't stop running till she got to my desk. Listen.
His name is Jackson! Peter Jackson! They'll catch you, Peter! They'll catch
You see, Lou? There's your whole story.
Of course, that isn't our whole story. For instance, you might want to know what happened to Peter Jackson. He's in a hospital for the criminally insane. For his sterling leadership in cracking the case, Captain Blake will probably become the next chief of police. Detective Parker will probably become Detective Sergeant Parker. And Miss Alice Maitland will probably become Mrs. Lou Parker. So you see, sometimes we can give you a happy ending. I'll be back shortly.
Hello, Ms. Goldilocks here, and welcome to my professional taste-testing laboratory. Oh, Papa Bear, could you bring that case of sugar-free Diet 7-Up over here?
Another case? Ms. Goldilocks, you're drinking the sugar-free Diet 7-Up like there's no tomorrow. You can't still be taste-testing it.
Oh, no, Papa Bear. Sugar-free Diet 7-Up has already earned my seal of approval. It's fresh, light, natural. Delicious. I drink it because I love its taste. Now hurry up.
Okay, okay, here.
Mm-hmm. This sugar-free Diet 7-Up really tastes delicious. Ladies, if you're tired of switching from one diet drink to another, take some advice from Ms. Goldilocks. Try sugar-free Diet 7-Up and you'll say, yes, this one's just right.
I'll bear witness to that, Goldie.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sign-Off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-Off.
Exactly.
Sign-Off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal, new sugar-free Diet 7-Up, and Sign-Off, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The preceding Mystery Theater program was furnished by the CBS Radio Network. Tomorrow night on the WOR Mystery Theater, you'll hear...
It comes.
What comes?
It. Here. It stopped. It stands outside my door.
What stands outside that door?
Ah! Oh, good Lord, help us. Please, God, help us.
The Fall of the House of Usher, tomorrow night on the WOR Mystery Theater, following the news at 5, right here over WOR Radio, the talk of New York. And say, great news for weekenders, Rambling with Roberts is going live Sunday morning from 8:15 to 12 noon. The program will include extensive summer service information, such as weather reports from Dr. Bob Harris, checks on beach conditions and parking facilities, traffic reports, and reports about the latest events and activities in the WOR listening area. The whole idea? Well, a tight Sunday morning package of music, news, and summer service information to make your weekend more pleasant. Be sure to tune in for the new Rambling with Robert Sunday morning, following the news at 8 right here over WOR Radio. And stay tuned now for John Scott and the news. Here's a note from the WOR Community Calendar. Come to the annual Hudson Valley Folk Picnic all day tomorrow at the Kennedy Marina in Yonkers, New York. The fun starts at 11 a.m. One of the highlights of the day will be a concert featuring Don McLean and Pete Seeger. All proceeds benefit the ecology of the Hudson Valley. In St. Anne's Council, the Knights of Columbus is holding a health fair tomorrow from 10 till 4 at its hall on 98th Avenue in Queens Village. It's free and medically supervised. WOR New York.